Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
So, David.
Oh, Michelle.
Hi.
How are you?
I had so much fun with Jack last week.
Oh, Jack the Insider, what an incredible guy.
And yeah.
Probably should take him off pause.
We've had him on pause a whole week.
Yeah, he should be fine.
I think we sent him some food. Didn't you send him some jam?
Send him a mango jam.
Okay, he'll be fine. So we're going to tuck into more conversation. We spoke about the SOFSITs and then we kind of got into Trumpism and a lot of the Republican movement, the anti-vax movement. Look, it was a great chat. And
it's
a huge chat. I think let's finish it off this
week.
Let's
do it right now.
You're listening to I Spy, the anti-vaxxer of Australian intelligence.
Some bleach.
A bit of bleach. Yeah, I haven't actually had any this morning.
Bit of ivermectin.
Yep.
Oh, Peter Evans sent me his lamp.
Oh my God, activated almonds.
It's so good. My skin's burning.
Mental health. Does mental health play an aspect in this?
Look, it's always difficult, and I think people make when they use terms like cookers and so forth,
yeah.
they are doing this terrible assumption that many of us make, that people are suffering mental health problems. I mean, I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist. I'm not trained to identify these things, and certainly not from a two-sentence response on Twitter. I just simply say that these groups, call them, if we want to call them SOFSITs, or if we want to call them incels, or if we want to call them anti-vaxxers, these people have been manipulated online by groups that really mean to do them harm, are basically in the business of generating money and clout. And so it's driven by this, Dave, you mentioned there, anti-government thing, but there's this sort of anti-science
position much so.
that says, yes, you can cure cancer by drinking bleach. Yes, you can, and people will, if you've suffered cancer, and I'm still under a cancer diagnosis myself, it's tempting to go away from the hard, really hard decisions about a serious illness like that. So those people can get dragged in. As I said, your yoga instructor is now starting to babble about the world being run by a cabal of Jewish bankers. I mean, these people are clearly being manipulated. It's okay to be skeptical about all that we know and understand, but once you fall into that business of I mistrust government, I mistrust science, I mistrust technology, then you are wide open to all these sorts of things.
Yeah, I had, during the pandemic, had a best friend who was an anti-vaxxer. And, look, we'd have lots of open conversations. And it was just always interesting to me that people believe that there is this higher thing going on that we're not all fully aware of, but they're aware of it.
The deep state.
Yeah, the deep state. But Joe Rogan had a lot to do with it as well. So it's this kind of people of influence. And many times Joe Rogan would say things that were completely untrue and inaccurate. So you have these people with lots
of that.
Yeah, so you have these people with lots of influence saying things that are believed.
Just asking questions.
Yeah. I'm just asking questions. No, I don't say that. I'm just asking questions. Yeah. That's a very common thing.
I've seen Rogan be perfectly rational and objective.
Yes.
And then he'll have another guest on and he's not a journalist. He's not a,
he's an entertainer,
a trained interviewer. So he just allows a lot of things just roll in there and that can be a problem. But that's just one element. Disinformation is simply everywhere. As to what its cause is, whether it's Russian bots, and there's surely a number of Russian bots. I mean, we talk about this, Dave, I just want to quickly say this. 5 years ago,
yes,
the conservative right were wringing their hands about the death of Western civilization. Do you remember this?
Oh, yeah.
That the Islamification of Europe was well underway and Western civilization was being lost.
I was getting fitted out for a burqa already.
Yeah, it's probably not a bad look yet. And
it suits him.
But now a lot of the so-called conservative right, not all of them, of course, Boris Johnson, for all his many faults, never got Ukraine wrong again, never got Ukraine wrong at all. But a lot of these conservatives, so-called self-identifying conservatives, are now saying we support Russia.
Because they're Christian, yeah.
And so that's just in the space of 5 years.
Yeah.
We can talk darkly about some of the really important, really significant influences around the world, some of them running big technology companies and some of them who have run big technology companies and what they're about. And they're about essentially driving a fascist objective.
Yes. And look, what it comes down to, I mean, ultimately, P.T. Barnum summed it up with the sucker is born every minute. People will buy into what they want to hear. If I'm feeling disenfranchised, if I think that the government's done me wrong, and then someone turns around and says, well, actually, there's this conspiracy going on and the government's against you and you should never trust the government. We had a prime minister, an ex-prime minister, days after losing the job, get up in front of an audience and say, you should never trust the government.
Don't trust government.
He was right, personally, about his own government. But really, when you've got that level of influence, and whatever happened to him in the election, he still is a person of influence. We have to acknowledge that. For him to get up and say something like that is utterly irresponsible.
Well, we're seeing it right now as well with Elon Musk after he bought Twitter, and you know he has access to millions of people, and some of the things that he says, like he claimed that someone who used to work for Twitter, who was high up in Twitter, was a pedophile.
Yeah,
and he's using that kind of rhetoric. Now that person's had to leave their house. They were getting death threats. So he just tweets something and it's out there, and then that just gets filtered down into people who actually believe this is true.
Yeah, like all free speech absolutists, they also seem to be big on punishment and big on big state, big on the strong man leadership.
Yes, he says that a lot. There's a lot of rhetoric around strong man. Trump was a strong man. He was a macho man.
Yeah, so really what we have is, I mean, it's like Scientology and it's not like Scientology. Mm. But there are particular characteristics of cult-like behavior going on here. And of course, the people who manage the cults, whether it's QAnon, whether it's the anti-vax groups, and we know that there are a very small number of people driving all of that misinformation around anti-vaccination, whether it's those people, they are the beneficiaries of all of this. But then we have the people underneath them who are the cult followers, and it's really hard to know how to get them back. I mean, we've all got experience of this. You guys in particular have had experience of very close friends, and you don't want to lose them. And I noticed, Michelle, you were saying, look, you continue to engage. I think that's really important that you continue to engage and you continue to be respectful.
Yeah, I mean we had a lot of respectful, open conversations, and that's kind of what got us through that. And to be honest, there were points that she was making which, you know, years after we're sifting through kind of the repercussions and the fallout from it, you know, some of those points were correct. Like, not everything she was saying was crazy. I was just trying to play it from, you know, this is kind of the way we had to move forward.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you and say I wasn't tolerant. I got to the point where I actually said I don't need this shit anymore, and that did not help the situation. And we're currently in a moment of, shall we say, impasse. And
Cold War. Mm.
The bridge has to be built, and, you know, if I have to be the person that starts building that bridge, that's my job. And I think that's one of the things we do need to take away is if somebody gets to the point where it's like, I just can't stand this anymore, sorry, you're just going to have to stand it if you want to save them from this. And it is. It's a cult-like thought.
But you have to engage with them, and I think too many times, especially with these groups, we shut them down, we don't allow them to speak. I think we really just need to start engaging and having conversations, whether we agree with it or not.
And that's an interesting point.
But it's very difficult.
Oh, it
is extremely difficult. Look, the conditional release program, part of its raison d'etre is to basically mock the influences. I'm more than comfortable with mocking the influences behind this. because they're the ones who are actually causing all these problems.
And you do it really well. You and Joel are doing a bang up job with your mock.
Well, we do enjoy them. But yes, you do have to be respectful. You do have to give people a pathway back.
Mm.
They may not take it. That's the thing. I mean, we're getting more and more information about. I believed, I wrote, basically even a year ago, I was saying this will kill the anti-vaccination movement. COVID vaccines will kill the but I was completely wrong about that. They've come back harder than ever. Now we've been taught, oh, no, but we didn't know about transmissibility. They didn't say that it wasn't transmissible. And what were vaccine mandates all about? Well, basically, that's because transmissibility could not be determined in the space of 2 years.
Yeah.
What we saw in terms of vaccines is an absolute miracle. We just had the collapse of a clinical trial, level three clinical trial into HIV.
Yeah.
And these things are really, really difficult to resolve. What we had was almost a miracle, a scientific miracle, if you like. And now more and more, now people are saying, look at all these.
Heart attacks.
Look at all the heart attacks. Anyone who died, any celebrity dies.
Yeah. They're questioning, Priscilla Presley. They're like, she had COVID.
Anyone. I mean, Pope Benedict the 16th was, he was 92. You know, he's not expected to live, but you know, he of course died because of the vaccine. I mean, it is absolutely crazy. The broader point is that the more and more that we're looking at COVID is not so much vaccines, but because vaccines have assisted people, reduced their symptoms and so forth. But the second, third, and subsequent infections of COVID are causing all these, may well be, I wouldn't say conclusively, may well be the cause of what we're seeing as a spike of unanticipated deaths.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say as well, like what I see, particularly in my Twitter feed. You've got the anti-vaxxers, but I'm seeing a higher prevalence of COVID fearmongers, people who are saying, we still need, like Karen Phelps, for example, you know, who was part of our federal government briefly and was head of the AMA, who also I think are crazy. But Karen Phelps has this whole group of people who truly believe that we should be shutting things down and that schools need to be shut down and, you know, people are dying.
Well, she came forward. She made a parliamentary submission to a Senate inquiry on Australia's pandemic response about vaccine injury. And it's clear that her wife suffered, certainly from what Dr. Phelps says, were clear injuries. We shouldn't ever ignore vaccine injuries.
No.
We shouldn't ever do that. We should be absolutely upfront about it, because honesty is the only way forward on this sort of stuff. We know that a number of people have died as a result of the mRNA vaccines. That's terrible. I mean, I think, and I don't want to use the number, but I think 14 is the number.
Yeah.
But then there have been a number of people who suffered quite significant vaccine injuries. We shouldn't shy away from that. We should acknowledge that the miracle that was COVID vaccines. But, you know, the anti-vax movement, there's been a serious backlash. And now people are starting to think, oh, gee, I don't want to get a booster, you know, particularly in high-risk categories, people with pre-existing medical conditions or a certain age, of course, certain vintage, because there's a lot of misinformation around about the boosters in particular. So this group, they're never going to go away because the grift is real and the grift must be ongoing. It's a business model.
Yeah. And that is then creates a very interesting conundrum for our security organisations, the police, ASIO, the problem being that, you know, how do you curtail, how do you watch the grift, how do you pick up the lone wolf that's trapped in that grift and then make sure you either defuse or at least maintain vigilance on them? And this is the real problem, is we don't know how to define it. It's gone are the days of Jim Saleem, you know, firing at Eddie Fundy's house. Now we're talking about some seriously difficult.
They wore uniforms, Dave. They were easy to spot.
Yeah. Brown shirts are easy to spot in the crowd.
Nazis don't wear uniforms anymore.
Ross May the Skull and all those guys, they were always fine. But now it's ordinary people. It was a principal of a primary school, for God's sake, who died in a shootout.
And that's what I'm saying. I was saying earlier and touching on the fact that this is now becoming a problem that is affecting everyday people that you thought. I think for me, it's like these are people that I thought, I think they're quite rational people. Yeah. So how do they think like this? Yeah. So it's just really, it's fascinating that rational people, or people I think are quite rational, can truly believe some of the outlandish things they believe.
Yeah.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Well, did we see any of the misinfo that came out in the wake of the Wayambler attack? And it was immediately that this was a contrived deep state operation, and it was either a fabrication, entirely fabricated, or the trains actually had been executed by police.
There were crisis actors involved.
For no reason.
Yes.
So we can't really stop the disinformation. You know, you would have seen your Twitter feeds gone to hell since Elon Musk's taken over, and maybe it's time for people en masse to move along from that. But at the same time, wherever disinformation runs, Telegram is absolutely dripping with it. All these social media things, it's like a game of whack-a-mole, that where you sort of tidy one up, or Facebook bans certain things, or Instagram bans certain things, they're going to pop up anyway. And so the way you deal with this, I suppose, is rationally, objectively, and without scorn. Scorn for those people who've fallen in. But for them, it's a long way back.
Yeah, and I think we kind of see America in particular with the midterms recently, all the Republican nominees that Trump had basically tapped on the shoulder and said, this should be your Republican nominee, hardly any of them got voted in. So you're seeing this kind of dwindling of support for this Trumpism.
At state level, a number of sort of election truthers did get elected.
Yes.
But look, I mean, if you want a prediction for me for 2023, Donald Trump will hit the deck hard this year. There is no great desire for him within the Republican Party to enter a primary, let alone win it.
Well, he's facing charges in Georgia.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a legal mess at the moment.
Yeah, he's a train wreck.
Gee, you'd love to be one of his lawyers, wouldn't you? You'd be.
No, because you're not going to
buy
get
an island later. But the problem with Trump is, and it's a good. This is the good news that independent voters. I mean, there are registered Democrats, there are registered Republican voters. Independent voters, which make up more than 1/3 of the constituency now, are saying no, we don't want this guy.
Yeah,
and that means he becomes unelectable. And that means the Republicans don't want a bar of him. And if he gets indicted in Georgia, they'll be quietly rubbing their hands together while making public statements about him being subject to a witch hunt. Yeah. They will want to see him hit the deck. And DeSantis is more of your typical Republican leader. So things might be reaching a little bit more of sort of a normalized situation in the United States.
Yeah, and what a lot of American commentators are saying is that Trump isn't really even running because he wants to run. It's a legal strategy.
Well,
it's a legal strategy, but it's also a grift.
Oh, yeah, 100%, because it's like he's always asking for money.
But he's just always asking for money.
I mean, did you see his NFTs?
give me one of those just to wipe my backside on. Now, the thing about Trump, and again, it goes back to the Reichsbürger thing, not so much the coup in Peru, but certainly what happened in Brazil, was there what that because of Trumpism, there has been an enabling of that kind of reaction, that massed
most definitely
disruption. And, you know, removing Trump, I don't think removing Trump from the equation is going to quell it so much. People now have it in mind that they're enabled to do that. They can do that. It's an option. Again, it really comes down to how, and I'm really going to be interested with the ASIO annual report this year, how ASIO now redirect and refocus their tasking in such a way that they can target the people that are almost invisible.
Well, let me ask you, Dave. I mean, are you confident that this is happening?
I would say, yeah. I mean, from all the scuttlebutt you've had for the last couple of years coming from Mike Burgess, he's been very much along the lines of our focus has been shifting further and further towards the to right-wing now political and ideological radicalization. He's moved that way a lot further, all right? But where, I mean, I always found ASIO to be quite a socialist little organization to be a member of, mainly because we had to look after each other. But it really comes down to the political will as well. What political will we have, you know, in Parliament that's also going to say this needs to be addressed?
Yeah, and again, we've still got this issue with aversion from our political leadership to, that says we don't want to acknowledge that there are significant rifts in our society, that there are significant risks attached with just our next-door neighbours.
Yeah.
And look, you know, I mean, there was a suggestion there that everyone should apologise to everyone else after, you know, in the wake of the pandemic, you know, that we all should apologise and stuff. I don't know how that works. What I do, what I would note is that after the Spanish influenza pandemic that killed so many more people, by the way, once it ended, everyone just went back to their lives. I mean, it came in the wake of a massive military cataclysm as well, a massive war, World War One, the Great War, and then the pandemic, of course. But everyone just went back and got on with their lives. We simply can't say the same thing this time after this pandemic, whether we've finished it or not. We are not getting back with it. We are not getting back onto our back on with our lives. We are still messing around with some of the big problems that we've got, you know, just socially, politically.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the internet has a lot to do with that. People are more connected. Does.
Yeah, everyone. And also I do. I'd just like to apologise to everyone that I exist. Sorry.
I said this quite often to many people. I'm like, you got to realise these politicians were dealing with it in real time. No one had answers. And mistakes were going to be made, of course.
There were decisions being made by government that would normally take 2 years and had to be made in a day.
Yes.
And you know they're going to make mistakes. And I think overall we got things pretty right.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
For example, I don't understand why they brought in, you know, I think Victoria did and the New South Wales didn't, construction, you know, mandates for vaccines for construction workers. I mean, what was all that about? That was all a bit nuts. I mean, you know, and then the lockdown that had a curfew attached to it. What was all that about?
Living in Bondi, we weren't allowed to go to the beach. They shut the beach down.
I know.
It was because we don't know what to do, so we're going to throw the kitchen
sink. That's right.
Elon Musk walked in with a kitchen sink and spoiled everyone's freaking fun online.
we made a lot of mistakes. We got a lot right too, because we've got pretty low death rate per 100,000 people in this country. We got a fair bit right, but we got a bit wrong too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I could chat to you all day. We've taken up a lot of your time.
We have.
Oh, no, it's been lovely. I've really enjoyed it.
I know, it's good.
We sort of wanted, probably should have talked a little bit more about self-sits, but we understand the broad idea that this sort of freedom movement is not growing, but it's basically becoming more and more diffuse, and it's adopting these principles that mean you're not liable, you don't have to live under the laws of the land, and that's where it gets a bit dangerous.
It's no care, no responsibility.
So before you go, I just want to quickly ask, you talked about your prediction. What would be your prediction in this area for this year? Is this going to be something that's going to come to a head?
It's going to get worse before it gets better.
Right.
And I hope that Dave is right, that our intelligence and security services are across this. Sometimes I think I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, but Burgess is quite across. He's very interested in like the telecommunication aspect of it, like the internet. How is that being used?
The cyber side of it, but there is the human element. Jack, thanks so very much for joining
us.
Good
on you, mate.
Yes, we'd love to.
Real pleasure. Thank you, Michelle. Yep. Good stuff.
Well, oh my God, I'm exhausted. That was like a big chat with Jack. There's so much to unpack there,
and I think
we need to have him back.
Yeah, we do. And for anyone, if you want to enjoy more Jack, listen to the conditional release program.
Yep.
It's available wherever you get your podcast. It's really, really good.
I know. And it's a bit confusing. We call him Jack, but it's Peter.
And it's Peter and Jack. Yeah, and you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But basically, we're back.
We are back.
How good
back
does
with
that
a bang.
Feel? Woo!
Woo! Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.